to experience Brahma. I don't know. It's Chaitanya Bhagavat, I remember that, but I don't know where it is. Yeah. Well, so here there's a whole description, and I have till 12 o'clock, which is 12 minutes. We start a little late also, I can see. Tomorrow I have to start on time. I won't be able to really cover these six qualities, which I would have liked to. But anyway, I can say a few things. At one point, it is describing here how everyone is getting ready. They're describing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it is described how at that point Srivas is in the house of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the house of Srivas, and he has just entered and he begins to reveal his identity as the Supreme Lord. He's sitting on the altar. He has moved the Shaligram Shilas aside and he's just sitting there. It's set like a golden Mount Meru. And all the devotees are getting totally excited. And everyone spontaneously gets in the mood of worshipping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everyone spontaneously begins to bring paraphernalia for the worship of the Lord, pots of water, etc. It's not being organized. Everyone just runs out and brings it on its own accord. So this is more or less going on. Everyone's getting ready for the ceremony. And it says that in the course of that, the ladies that are there, they are becoming overwhelmed by ecstatic symptoms, and their bodies are trembling, and their braids are getting loose, etc. And then irreligion is commenting, and it said that loosened braids are a symptom of lust. Whenever doe-eyed women walk, their Kamadev congers, right? So he's sure that something will happen in this situation. But again, Kali is saying, no, this is only applicable to people who are conditioned, who are not on the transcendental platform. So here we see, basically, going through these six qualities of the six enemies, which are mentioned, lust, greed, anger, madness, illusion and envy. These six enemies, there are two ways of dealing with them. One is through culture, one is through spiritual culture, and the other one is by being transcendental to them. Right? And these two distinctions are really being made here. And it is said that, yes, the spiritual tradition or culture, that can help us to some extent. It's not the solution, but it can help us. Right? It's interesting because many of us may not be on the transcendental platform, and to some extent we may be hanging on to that that culture of Varna Ashram and Vaishnav prescribed behavior, certain etiquette, etc. And it helps us to follow the four regulative principles, to deal with these six enemies which are always attacking: lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. But not enough to really overcome them. And this is exactly what's happening. Right? So I felt that we see that many people in Krishna consciousness put the rules in front, put the regulative principles in front, and put the battle with these enemies in front, right? How to overcome lust, how to deal with it. Whereas what really is coming out here is the absorption in Krishna, the absorption in the worship of Krishna. And then we see that the regulative principles follow behind. Right? If Krishna is in front, then the regulative principles automatically follow behind. And that is the spirit, really. So that one should go beyond the mood of just struggling with rules and regulations. And even if one follows them very nicely, right? One may be a model of following the rules and regulations. One may be a perfect temple devotee in all respects, right? Everything right, you know. Dhoti, tilak, everything just perfect. Right? But internally, the volcano is raging, right? Because that's still where one's major focus, right? Struggling with these enemies that attack our mind. But the solution really that comes out here in this first act is to just fully become absorbed in the worship and glorification of Krishna. And then everything is happening. Okay? Then the act ends with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sitting on the altar of Srivas, and there's a bathing ceremony going on, and it looks like, again, Mount Meru and all the rivers that are running down. And it is described that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at that time, enters into 54 hours of ecstasy. And he sits there for 54 hours in ecstasy, and the devotees start praying, and the devotees said, but, you know, how long is this going to go on? Please, come out of this, you know. I mean, it's all right for you, but we need to serve you. If we don't have it, now you don't need our service anymore. You're just here, totally gone internal. What is there left to do for us? Please come to your external senses. We need to render service to you. So again, that is, of course, the underlying theme is to get so much absorbed in the glorification and service of the Lord that all these other enemies, these six, just disappear. And in that way, it is said, Kali is already defeated. Only in that way, Kali is defeated. But when Kali is... when we are not absorbed in service to Krishna and in glorifying Krishna, then the influence of Kali will still be having a grip on us to some extent. Still we'll be struggling with these six various enemies. Okay. That's more or less the first act. Tomorrow I'll try and do it a little quicker so there's more time for discussion. I just had to get a feel for the topic and the time, but now I can see how to proceed. So if there's any questions, any responses, at this point, we can start some discussion. You have it on your paper. See, the paper you have has first a little few quotes about Kavi Karnapur. And then on the second page, you get a summary of the of Act 1. And then I have, after that summary, I have, starting on page 7, I have given some points of interest of each act. I mean, that's of course subjective. And then, but that's what I thought were interesting points. And then a few excerpts. Right, just for you, for some nice points, like looking at that in that first act at the end of the examples given. It is at one point said that Mukunda used to regularly read the Yoga Sutras, right? So, at one point, Advaita Acharya is saying, well, what's wrong with the Yoga Sutras? I mean, what is actually wrong with them? They're not contradicting the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, what in themselves is wrong with them? So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu argues that. So, this is an interesting point, because we may also many times say, well, what's wrong with reading this book? What's wrong with reading that book? It's kind of background information. What's wrong with it? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, the nectar of devotional service, The nectar of Murari Gupta, the nectar of devotional service is not perfectly situated in Murari's heart. His heart is filled with the bitter Adhyatma Yoga philosophy, putrid as onions. Even today, he spent a long time studying the Vasistha Yoga Sutra. Advaita, what is the fault in Adhyatma Yoga? Bhagavan, how can you speak these words? A person fixed in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord Hari, the Lord of the highest auspiciousness, swims in the ocean of nectar. For him, what is the use of water in small ditches? Right. Good quote. I mean, I liked it. I thought it was quite... So it's like it deals with all this. Well, can we read this? Can we read that? You know, is it all right? It's like, who would want to? Right? Who would want to when you are deeply absorbed in the ocean of nectar? So nice. Yeah, just above that, then irreligion is pointing out that Kali to Kali, that you have so many helpers, very powerful personalities, and all these powerful personalities will actually surely defeat him. But it is also said here then that by Kali, no, he also has many helpers, and then he lists Advaitacharya, Nityananda. And he says who they all are. Advaitacharya is the incarnation of Lord Shiva. Nityananda Avaduta is glorious Lord Sankarsan. Srivas, the Tilak Mark of the Brahmana, is Narada Muni. And like that, many, many more names are mentioned. How he has also many, many powerful personalities to help him. Yes. So then irreligion said, well, okay. What is the proof that he's God? So here we get some proof. So the proof that Kali gives here is not like a logical list of arguments for the existence of God, as you will find them, some ontological arguments, etc. No, the arguments are simple but interesting. Friend, because he is full of bliss, the Supreme Personality of Godhead attracts everyone's heart. That is his extraordinary nature. Supremely blissful, he can make the living entities also blissful, just as a wealthy person can make someone else wealthy also. This boy fills everyone's heart with wonder. That is the sign of the personality of Godhead. It's interesting, we remember how it is said that if in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that if you are really interested in the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it says if you're really interested in logic, then you should study the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you'll find it chitta pava chamatkar. You'll find it just amazing. In the heart, amazement will come. So it's exactly this point. Because he can fill everyone's heart with amazement. So we can understand that it says directly here, this boy fills everyone's heart with wonder. So we should realize that this Chaitanya Chandradoy Natak was written long before the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We also see that it has been quoted by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami several times in different verses, maybe some 20 times it comes up in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he's also referring to it as authorized scripture. So in one sense, we can understand that he's used it as source material in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's no doubt about that. And like these kind of lines, you can clearly see he took inspiration from it. So it was certainly amongst the Vaishnavas at that time, obviously, one of the authorized biographies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because that's really what it is. We don't care so much that it's in the form of a play, right? But for us, what is interesting is it's another biography about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And within it, there are many different statements, right, which are describing some of the qualities about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, at one point, irreligion is bringing out the point that Okay, he may be very powerful, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but I hear he's married. Right. Now, we may recall in the Srimad Bhagavatam how it is described that Sukadev Goswami, he left immediately after he took birth, and his father wanted to offer him the sacred thread, and he didn't even wait, and he just ran away, ran straight into the forest, and he was not dressed. And he ran through that forest, and there were young girls bathing in a pond in the forest, and they didn't even react when he passed, because they could see he's totally in another realm, he's totally on the transcendental platforms, although they were not dressed while bathing, and although he was not dressed, they did not bother to cover, they just let him pass. But then Vyasadeva was following, and he was a householder, and then they immediately covered themselves, right? Because they were considering he's a householder. So in this way, we can understand that because Vyasadeva was a householder, it was considered he must have some tinge with the modes of material nature. There's another story also describing that when Sukadev Goswami was still in the womb, that at that time, actually, Krishna was brought to convince Sukadev to get out of the womb, because it was really getting too long. Sukadev Goswami, it is mentioned, sometimes it's mentioned 16 years, other times it's mentioned 12 years in the womb, and whatever it was, a very long time. So it said that Vyasadeva was getting worried, and he even arranged for Krishna to come and to speak to Sukadev to tell him that everything is all right, you can come out of the womb now. But Sukadev was not convinced, because he was thinking, yes, but my father... Sukadev was only convinced when he heard from Krishna. Previously, he had heard Srimad Bhagavatam from his father, but still he was thinking that the Bhagavatam is convincing, but my father is not. Because, you know, he may speak the Bhagavatam, but why did he get married if he had realized this transcendental knowledge of Bhagavatam, right? If he fully realized this Bhagavatam, then he would have no reason to be interested in anything mundane. He would only be absorbed in Krishna. So therefore, it took Krishna himself to reconfirm, no, it's really okay. If you come out, you will not become contaminated. Only then would Sukadev appear. So in this way, it's not surprising that irreligion brings up this point, right? He is married. Means there must be a trace of lust. Kali again says, gives a completely transcendental explanation. He says, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends to the material world, His potency, beautiful goddess Lakshmi, also descends, imitating the pastimes of ordinary man, he accepted her, stayed with her for some days, and then sent her far from the eyes of this world. Okay, I'm looking at my watch, and time is going too quick. So we have to look a little bit. He begins to describe that irreligion begins to describe he has powerful generals, such as lust, anger, greed, and madness, envy. And he begins to make statements about these things. Like, for example, he says about envy, your lieutenant Envy, who pollutes the heart with an intolerance of others' good fortune, who creates cruelty and deceit, who burns as a fire in a hollow tree, who turns those it defeats into demons, and who upsets the entire world, hides within him. And so it is interesting how it is described that envy is that which can transform devotees into demons. It's a very interesting point to consider that can happen. Because so that's a dangerous thing. Right? Can anyone think of an example? Anyway. Yeah, just feel free. Huh? No, that's good, very good. Well, one person I can think of is Indra, right? Who was a devotee, but then when he became envious of Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan, then he wanted to kill all the residents of Vrindavan. It gets pretty demoniac at that point. Definitely no longer much of a devotee. Yeah. Yeah, he had to. Yeah. True. Devananda Pandit. Yeah, that lady who chanted all the time, right? I also don't know his name. Can't remember his name also. Yeah, she said it doesn't matter, right? She said my tongue moves all the time. It doesn't at all block me from hearing. You know, I mean, even if I chant, I can hear very well at the same time. Like something, the devotees are praying. How will we sip the drops that fall between your fingers as you, the wonderful Supreme Personality of Godhead, are now in this form meant to taste nectar. So it's like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is drinking the nectar and a few drops are falling between his fingers and the devotees are there to catch those drops. It's also really like indicating no one can taste the nectar Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tastes. Doesn't matter. Just the drops are enough to fulfill anything we would desire. There's plenty of ammunition in the play against impersonalism. Right? Sometimes it is said that dealing with impersonalism is external. Right? And sometimes it is said that Prabhupada was dealing with these external things, but we're seeing that all the acharyas were very much dealing with this, and Kavi Karnapur throughout the play presents very good arguments against impersonalism. Later on, in the sixth act, we see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converts Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya begins to give arguments against impersonalism, very practical ones. He gives an explanation of Brahman, and he gives an explanation how it actually refers to Krishna, and so forth. We'll get to that. So in that way, things are nice. Yeah, what you can do is when you have time, you can just read these summaries of the chapters. Then Uddhava, he works in a computer company where everyone all day sits behind his computer and where people don't even say good morning. They just sit down behind the machine and start typing away, right? And therefore you can do anything you want on that job. So he has printed out a number of copies of the Chaitanya Chandodaya Natak. Not 35, but about 14 left, huh? So there's here a box with 14 left, and anyone who wants to give some donation can get a copy of the book also. Okay. Anything or any whatever they want to give or whatever you want to give. Yeah. Huh? Another interesting thing is that the qualities, different qualities, are being. Yeah, you can just wait till after it's over. Yeah, you can sit down there, but he sneaked up and very quietly stole one, right? Is it? It's like, yeah, we can always make more, you know, like if you really want to. Anyway, it's very nice that different qualities become personalities. And so the next act begins with renunciation. Renunciation enters on stage, and renunciation is in a depleted situation because in this age of Kali, there's nobody left who's into renunciation. There's no one who supports renunciation any longer. So whatever is left of renunciation is not much. And renunciation is not only looks totally emaciated, but is also in a very distressed condition, very, very depressed, and looking for someone, looking just for someone who has some good qualities. And he's looking everywhere. He says, let me just see. He says, like, where are all good qualities like cleanliness, truth, control of mind or the senses, self-restraint, peacefulness, tolerance, friendship, mercy? Were all my sincere, loving friends uprooted by the people of Kali? Are they now living in hiding? Could they have found a place Kali doesn't know? No, because there is no place like that. The Brahmanas are interested only in their sixth duty, accepting charity. A sacred thread is the only sign of their status. The Kshatriyas are so in name only. The Vaishyas are like atheists. The Sudras think themselves great scholars and are eager to become gurus and teach the truth of religion. You can put that somewhere in on com, you know, see how it bounces, how that bounces around. Alas, alas, Kali has turned the castes into this. The Brahmacharis are only so because they cannot marry. The Grihasthas are interested only in filling the bellies of their wives and children. Those Vanaprasthas are so only in the name Vanaprastha, traveling on the path of the ears. The Sannyasis are different from the others only in dress. So like that, he has a few cutting remarks there at the various ashrams. I think we are now coming to the break, right? So I'll stop, and then we'll continue tomorrow. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I don't know if he has also...